Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Largo to Seminole, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris, where Tampa Bay begins their morning.
And a good morning to you, Jack and Dana and James, all undulating our uvula, trying to keep you part of the best informed and best entertained folks on a Thursday morning. Thursday.
Hello.
Good morning.
It's Thursday. And we got a lot going on here this morning, as usual. And we're doing our fake news. Got that a little later on.
Yeah, yes. Because today's like your Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Dana and I have to be here.
But then I've got today in history for the right day.
So, yeah, what happened?
I realized last night when I was getting ready for today's Today in History, I looked at it and I thought, good Lord, I did that yesterday.
Oh, geez.
None of us noticed.
I can't believe it. And that means I missed Today in History for the Ides of March.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we'll make up for it a little later on today, among other things. And Jay Ratliff will be joining us. Got another bank in trouble, so there's a lot of concern about the impact that's going to have on the economy.
Yeah, I mean, some people are saying that, you know, everything's fine. It's not going to be a big collapse of the whole thing or anything. But then some other people are saying that this isn't a good sign because now they're, you know, it's like happening more and more.
So it's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do have a new Republican presidential candidate.
Oh, yes, we do.
And I don't even know if I can pronounce his name. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, that's not the one that I heard about. Okay. Who's this?
Who'd you hear about?
Joe Exotic.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger King. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tiger King. But Vivek Ramaswamy, he's a tech entrepreneur, but he's making headlines for his recent announcement to invest millions of dollars in his campaign for the White House.
Never heard of him.
A seven-figure media blitz. He's launching ads in Iowa, New Hampshire, and, of course, there are the two states that will kick off the GOP presidential nominating calendar. But he's very conservative. He's a critic of what they call the woke left. And he wants to enact bureaucratic reform, end affirmative action, and dismantle what he calls the climate religion.
He's 37 years old is what I'm reading.
Yeah, and so he's 2 years older than you have to be to run for president.
Yeah, he's
to be president.
Pretty young, right?
Yeah, you got to be 35. And the other thing that I like for him, let's see if I can find it here, but he wants to protect the border. He wants to use the military to protect the border.
Oh, so now I know who's got your vote.
I might have, except that I can't imagine going around calling him President Ramaswamy.
Yeah, that's a lot.
President Ramaswamy.
Now, what about the Tiger King, Dana?
Yeah, so I don't know all the details, but apparently Joe Exotic has stated that he is going through the motions in order to register to become a candidate for president for 2024. But I don't know if you can do that when you're in prison.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible. But can you imagine?
If a guy,
you know what? He'll get votes.
A guy going from the prison to the White House.
That's right.
It ought to be the other way around.
Yeah.
If you thought Trump was a show, Just imagine the Tiger King.
I know, it's crazy. Okay, well, so speaking of elections, I'm very excited because I actually did a vote tally last night. I got my hands on the write-ins for the Tampa mayor election.
How many pages did you, like, have to go through?
There were 709 pages.
Oh, my Lord.
It's just a scan of people's handwriting, so it's not even like you can go on the document and use the find to search right. what you're looking for. So anyway, I counted up how many votes Jack received in the election.
I lost.
Yeah, he did lose by a slight margin, but we're going to tell Jack how many votes he got coming up at 5:23.
Yeah, because I have no idea how many votes
I got. I think you might, I mean, it's not a huge number, but I think you might be, it's probably more than you expected.
I mean, guess 23.
No, James.
What?
He's giving me way too many votes.
We're not playing the game yet.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
23. Jack Harris.
And in here, after celebrating his birthday yesterday, Chris Trinkman.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, belated, by the way.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, another day older. Feel great. Feel
and
great.
Deeper in debt.
So top defense officials say they're now not sure if Russia intentionally downed a U.S. drone that was flying over the Black Sea. The Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Mark Milley, said Russian jets intended to intercept the drone, but it's not clear if they collided with it on purpose. Meanwhile, Russia's trying to get whatever wreckage they can of the drone itself. It's in about 4,000 feet of water in the Black Sea. The U.S. has no presence in the Black Sea, so we're hoping that our allies might be able to get to it. But the General Milley said he doesn't think that what's left of the drone will be of much use to Russia if they do recover it.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. But this is scary. I mean, our conflicts with China and with Russia now and with in the Middle East to a certain extent. And you wonder, are we on the threshold of another world war? I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. But clearly foreign relations have, you know, reached some new tensions that we haven't seen in many years.
Yeah.
So Goldman Sachs is lowering its 2023 economic growth forecast over concerns about the strength of the banking sector. The firm lowered its forecast to 1.2%. That's a drop of 0.3 percentage points. Goldman Sachs anticipates that smaller banks will try to preserve liquidity to meet depositor withdrawals. And that's what's been going on, Jack. A lot of people with these smaller banks are pulling out their money and moving them to big banks, thinking that they are more secure, more stable.
Yeah, I saw yesterday that Bank of America has had $15 billion in new deposits, like new accounts opened in the last couple of days.
That's right. Bank of America, Chase Bank, Citibank, all the really big ones have seen a big shift away after what happened with the Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah.
And that's really one of the concerns about the integrity of the banking system. If people don't have confidence in the banks, then you can see a run on their money. And that's when the system gets into trouble, because banks generally can't provide everybody with all the assets that are deposited in there because they invest a lot of that money in other things.
Yeah. And it is interesting when you have a run on a bank like that, as you pointed out, they're not quite prepared for that.
That's right.
Fortunately, my wife does all of our banking business. I don't even know which bank we work with.
Well, it just reminds me of the scene in It's a Wonderful Life when everybody runs in and wants their money out.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't pay all the money out. You know, I don't have it all. It's a lot of it's invested in people's homes and other places. It's not something that you can just liquefy instantly. But the banks do have to follow certain rules, and they have to have a certain amount of cash on hand at all times. And the problem with this bank was they weren't following the rules.
Yeah.
And so when there was this this panic, they ran out of money, and the government had to take it over. So a Hillsborough County man wants to give people around the country an Elvis experience. That's what James Webb of Plant City says after he bought a plane that was owned by Elvis. He bought a 1962 Lockheed Jetstar at auction in January for $200,000, and he plans to sell the wings and use the body as an RV that he can tour the country with.
He's going to sell the wings?
I guess so. He's going to chop them off, sell them.
He wants a wing. Just a wing.
Yeah,
I wonder who's going to buy the wings.
Well, maybe a museum. you know. Yeah.
Well, if they're chicken wings, I could understand it.
I'll take that.
But not airplane wings.
Yeah, you know, the plane looked pretty cool just as...
It did. Yeah, in the way it looks. Picture.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's wrong with just having the plane? I mean, maybe you could charter some flights or something, you know?
I don't know if it works anymore.
old Elvis used to perform here.
Yes.
Big time at, it was the Armory. I'd forgotten what it was called back then, way back then. But what's the guy's name that became... His mentor.
The Colonel?
Yeah.
Colonel Parker.
Colonel Parker, yeah.
Yeah.
Who became Elvis's mentor and helped send him to greatness. And a lot of it started right there at the, what is it called? It's a Jewish community center now.
Oh, yeah.
The Armory.
Are you talking about?
It's a National Guard Armory, I think, at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think now it's called, it's over in Clearwater, right?
No, and it's here on, I've forgotten what streets it's on, but it's in Tampa, in West Tampa.
Mm. Well, there's no question about it. In those days, getting to see some of those early rock bands was an exciting thing. I mean, the big stars were people like, Frank Sinatra and all that. Those are the concerts you couldn't get into. But, a lot of the young people like to go see, Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and these other guys who in their early days were a lot more accessible until the parents found out what was going on.
And then
rock and roll became public enemy number one, right?
That is true.
And speaking of rock and roll, Jack, the drummer from Derek and the Dominoes has died. Jim Gordon, a Grammy-winning drummer, played for a lot of artists in the 60s and 70s. He was heard on classical bands like the Beach Boys, their Pet Sounds album, George Harrison's All Things Must Pass, but he is most fondly remembered for the piano part that he wrote for the smash hit Layla.
Layla.
And if you know this song, Jack, it goes on for about 10 minutes. So if you were a jock back then, you could like go and get a sandwich.
Go to the restroom.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
While this thing just rolled on and on. This part comes in at the end of the song, but it's one of their most famous songs. Eric Clapton, of course, part of that band, Derek and the Dominoes.
Yeah, we love those long songs.
That's
when
right.
I was a disc jockey.
But Gordon also suffered from a dark side. He was sent to prison in 1983 for killing his mother with a hammer and suffered from schizophrenia.
Oh, wow.
So in addition, you wouldn't think that from a guy who wrote that song. Right?
We certainly wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well,
there you go.
Be more coming up here in about 8 minutes at the bottom of the hour from Chris Strinkman, who's a year older and deeper in debt.
There you go. Thanks, Jack.
What's that song? Another year older and deeper in debt. I can't remember the name of the song.
We'll check the oldie station.
I guess so.
Thanks, Jack.
Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
And I lost my earpiece here. It's 5:26 on AM Tampa Bay. And I think this segment, you're in charge here. What is this?
Yes. Well, so the race for mayor was, a week ago?
Yeah.
And now we have who all the write-ins were. The write-in people, when you write in a vote. So I wanted to share with you some of the funny things that people wrote in and then tell you how many votes you got. I actually sat and counted them last night. Now, this is not an official tally, okay? I don't know if anybody's going to demand a recount, but this is just me scrolling through 700 pages of scanned write-in votes.
I can't believe you did that.
How long did this take you, Dana?
Well, I started doing it yesterday while I was still here, and then last night I just sat and once I saw one vote for Jack Harris, and then I saw two votes for Jack Harris, I was like, all right, I got to see if there's more.
So we know it's more than two.
So it is,
okay.
It's more than two. But some of the other people that got votes that I thought was pretty funny, somebody voted for Potato Head. Somebody voted for Kanye West, Eddie Vedder, Beth Dutton. If you watch Yellowstone, she got a write-in vote. Bozo the Clown. Tom Brady actually got a ton of votes. A lot of people voted for Tom Brady.
They want him to stay here in Tampa.
Yeah, and then the Seminole Heights Coyote got a lot of votes. Do you know what the Seminole Heights Coyote is?
No, I sure don't. Yeah. I'm guessing it's a school mascot or something.
I think so, but the Seminole Heights Coyote got a ton of votes.
Ah.
Jack Harris, you received double digits.
Wait, are we guessing? Are we guessing?
Oh, you want to guess? Okay.
Yeah, let's guess first.
All right.
Jack, how many votes do you think you got?
11.
I'm going to say 17.
Jack received 10 votes for mayor.
Double digits.
It was so funny, though, because you had told me, I think, that like Joy writes your name in or that somebody told you. So when I saw those two, I was like, all right, we'll see if there's any more. And then I'm scrolling through and oh my gosh, there's another one. And on one page, there were actually two votes for you. Like each page has probably like 8 votes on it. And on one page, there were two. So I was like, wow. So yes, you received 10 votes for mayor.
So it's a pretty close second then.
Yeah.
Close second.
Darn, yeah, right?
I lost again.
Yeah, you got more votes than Bozo the Clown, okay?
Yeah, I was the one a long time ago that talked Castor into running. I remember seeing her at, she was chief of police then, and I remember seeing her at Carrabba's, I think it was, with a friend. And I stopped and talked to her because I knew her from doing the mayor's hour together. And I said, you ought to run for mayor. And she just laughed at me. Oh, and ultimately she did.
Next. And just for comparison, you got 10 votes and she received 22,988 votes.
Darn, I got edged out.
So close.
But I thought that was pretty cool. So congratulations.
Well, thank you kindly.
With Jack Harris.
And keeping us up with what's trending now, Dana McKay's got it all.
Well, this is a ridiculous lawsuit that a lot of people are talking about because it's just so funny. A class action lawsuit has been filed by a man in Chicago against Buffalo Wild Wings because he claims that their boneless wings don't actually have any meat from chicken wings in them. He says they're more like chicken nuggets.
Duh.
And that if he knew that before ordering them, he would not have spent his money on them. His lawsuit is seeking unspecified monetary damages. Meanwhile, Buffalo Wild Wings responded in a tweet, and they said, it's true. Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham, and our buffalo wings are 0% buffalo.
But it originated in Buffalo.
Okay, so that's where the Buffalo
things, New York,
yes, comes from. But yeah, what a ridiculous lawsuit. I just think that's hilarious.
And here's the thing. Who goes to a real wing place and gets boneless wings? I mean, I love B-dubs. Not to mention, I would love to be sponsored by B-dubs someday, just saying. But, you know, you go to any place that has boneless wings, they're not that great. I've never been impressed.
Okay, so I actually like boneless wings because I feel like eating actual wings is just a lot of work for not a lot of payoff. Like you just and they're messy. Like I would just rather have boneless wings, but I don't think that it's literally a wing without the bone.
Right.
And the meat on a wing, I feel like, is just not as good as the meat on a chicken breast, which is what I want in my nuggets. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What's the name of the place? I forgot again.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, the Anchor Bar in Buffalo. They're the ones that originated that.
The buffalo wings with the hot sauce? Yeah. Okay, very cool.
And the original one, they're opening a branch down here.
Okay.
I think in St. Pete, but...
Oh, I remember seeing that not too long ago.
Yeah, the original one up in Buffalo, they got a picture of Joy and I on the wall.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And I've got a picture of me and the head guy there, that owns it.
Oh, fantastic.
But anyway, enough of Buffalo Wild Wings. That goes back to the days of the Losers Contest.
Right.
That's how all that came about.
Cool.
Too much of a story there. And unfortunately, I did March 16th yesterday on the Ides of March, so we don't have to do that. I might add that today in history for March 15th, the assassination of Julius Caesar took place, and that's what brings about the phrase, beware the Ides of March. And I'm looking down, Maine became the 23rd U.S. state. First ever cricket match was played. I don't even know what cricket is all about.
I don't either. It's kind of like a game that I feel like fancy people play.
Yeah, it must be. Let me look down through here. President Johnson, responding to the Selma crisis, tells Congress, we shall overcome, while abdicating the Voting Rights Act. Mikhail Gorbachev is elected the first president of the Soviet Union. This is in 2019 on March 15th, about 1.4 million young people in 123 countries went on strike to protest climate change. And locally in 1891, Tampa hired its first sanitation chief for $100 a month. And in today's dollars, that would be about $3,300 a month, or $39,600 a year. And here's a little for tomorrow, since I won't be here tomorrow. Are we okay time-wise here?
Oh, yeah, we're good.
All right. In 1776, in the American Revolution, the British Army evacuated Boston, ending the siege of Boston after George Washington and Henry Knox placed artillery in positions overlooking the city. In 1805, the Italian Republic, with Napoleon as president, became the Kingdom of Italy with Napoleon as king. In 1891, USS Utopia collided with the HMS Anson in the Bay of Gibraltar, and it sank, killing 562 of the 880 passengers on board. In 1942, in the Holocaust, the first Jews from the Lvov ghetto are gassed at the Belzec death camp in what is today eastern Poland. 1948, Belgium, France, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom signed the Treaty of Brussels. That was a precursor to the North Atlantic Treaty establishing NATO. 1950, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, announced the creation of Element 98, which they called Californium. 1958, the U.S. launched the first solar-powered satellite, which is also the first to achieve a long-term orbit. 1960, President Dwight Eisenhower signed the National Security Council directive on the anti-Cuban covert action program that would ultimately lead to the Bay of Pigs invasion. 1966, off the coast of Spain in the Mediterranean, the DSV Alvin submarine finds a missing American hydrogen bomb. In 1968, as a result of nerve gas testing by the U.S. Army Chemical Corps in Skull Valley, Utah, over 6,000 sheep are found dead. 1969, Golda Meir became the first female prime minister of Israel. 1973, the Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph Burst of Joy is taken, depicting a former prisoner of war being united with his family, which came to symbolize the end of U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. 1985, serial killer Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, committed the first of two murders in his Los Angeles murder spree. In 2000, 530 members of the Ugandan cult Movement for the Restoration of the Ten Commandments of God died in a fire considered to be a mass murder or suicide orchestrated by the leaders of the cult. And elsewhere, another 248 members were later found dead. And that's our Today in History for tomorrow, since I did the 16th
right
earlier, and we got the 15th, and we got them all.
All right. I think
we got them covered.
Fantastic.
I'll try to get it right Monday.
All right. Yummy, I'm going to have to check up on you.
Yes, indeed.
You'll be fine.
Live on the free iHeartRadio app, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
And we are joined by Rory O'Neill, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent. And Rory, a new poll is out on how Americans feel about everything from presidential candidates to TikTok. And what are the results of that thing?
Well, we know your opinion, that's for sure.
I've never used TikTok, unfortunately, but I have voted for right. presidential candidates.
Yes, you have, since Lincoln, I think. But the
oh, way before that.
So this new Quinnipiac University poll shows that former President Donald Trump, still the man in the Republican Party and among GOP candidates, you know, in a big field, he would still win the nomination. And even head-to-head against Ron DeSantis, Trump gets 51% of the vote to Ron DeSantis's 40% in a GOP primary. But when you look at a general election, things turn. Joe Biden would beat Donald Trump again in the general election by
couple
points.
Wow.
No, even with Biden's 40% approval rating. But when you go, when you do a Joe Biden versus Ron DeSantis head to head, it's a coin toss, like 47-46. So within the margin of error.
Wow. So what about TikTok? Is Donald Trump more popular than TikTok?
Oh, no. Well, yeah. So we have 49% of Americans say they're willing to ban TikTok. 42% oppose a national ban. You know, look, there are concerns that this video sharing app is really a front for the Chinese government, and that the Chinese government is collecting valuable information about the 100 million Americans who use the TikTok app. You know, already lots of governors, lots of cities have taken action to ban the app from government-issued phones. The federal government is considering the same. Many individual departments have done that. But now perhaps a whole nationwide ban on this app that may be a front for the Chinese government.
And what else was in this poll that was interesting?
We got a couple things. They've given a list of six countries. Which country poses the biggest threat to the U.S.? 61% said China. Nearly two-thirds of Americans think Fox News needs to be held accountable for the hosts spreading what they call false information about the 2020 election. And when asked about COVID, 64%, almost two-thirds of Americans, think it was caused by that lab leak in Wuhan, China. Only 22% think it was more likely caused by a natural transmission.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And the bats. The yeah. Chinese
and
bats.
The bats. Yep, at the wet market.
Yeah, that was a result of a baseball game.
What?
Where the bats.
Oh, the bat. Okay, like a baseball bat. Got mm-hmm. I got it.
That joke was a no-hitter. Come on, Jack.
That definitely was a no-hitter if there ever was
struck
one.
Struck out.
But it's going to be interesting to see who wins the next election, because we keep checking out these polls, and they're all different. None are ever the same.
Right. I think the thing is to keep on looking, you know, over the term, you know, it captures one data point in time. And then you have to really look at them at the 35,000 foot level, piece these all together and see what the trends are. And that's what's interesting to follow.
Well, that's for sure. But anyway, Rory O'Neill, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent, and on Twitter at Radio Rory. And Rory, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Jack. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you. And coming up here, we got a lot of things going on in the next hour, as you might imagine, including Jay Ratliff, and he's going to give us the deal of these bank failures and how that's going to impact the market.
From Palm Harbor to Valrico, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris, where Tampa Bay begins their morning.
And a good morning to you, AM Tampa Bay, bringing a little brio to the hebetudinous. Jack Harris and Dana McKay and James Berlander all on board here this morning. And we were talking earlier about the votes for mayor, and I got, what, 10 of them?
Yeah, you got 10 write-in votes.
But I was beaten by Bozo the Clown.
No, Bozo the Clown didn't get as many as you.
Oh, okay.
From what I could see.
Well, that was what it was. Bill Connolly, for those who don't know him, he's with Hugh Zoo, or was many years, and I got to know him and work with him there. And he also writes copy for Dagwood and Bumstead comic strip.
Okay.
But he just congratulated me on beating Bozo the Clown.
Yes, and he said, sorry about the Seminole Heights Coyote upset, because the Seminole Heights Coyote got tons of votes. It was really strange. I'm like, what is this? But we thought it might be a mascot, but it's not. Apparently, back years ago, there was a coyote on the loose in Seminole Heights, and from what I can see, it just became a thing. And yeah. So people still vote for the Seminole Heights Casino. Coyote. If I'm wrong about this, then, you know, people will, I'm sure, let us know. But I think that's where that comes from.
Hey, we got some birthdays to celebrate today. Art Keeble, Al Hernandez, David Berrios, Joelle Ann Ober, Bill Strand, and Jan Gorey. And how about you? Have you got any, Dana?
Not people that I know, but I have some celebrity birthdays. Eric Estrada is 74. Flavor Flav is 64. And Chuck Woolery is 82.
And how about you, James?
And for me, I've got Mario Michael Murata, Chris Gunther, and also Michael Anthony Shepman all celebrating birthdays today.
And a very happy birthday to them. And we've got some jokes here now. These are from Anne-Marie Plamondon. Signs that you find at a tire shop in Milwaukee. Invite us to your next blowout. On an electrician's truck, let us remove your shorts. On a maternity room door, push, push, push.
Oh, geez.
That's what they say to women, I guess, when they're having babies.
Yes, you have to push the baby out.
Yeah. At a car dealership, the best way to get back on your feet is miss a car payment. And outside a muffler shop, no appointment necessary. We hear you coming.
That's funny.
And finally, in a veterinarian's waiting room, be back in 5 minutes. Sit. Stay. Can you all do a little better, please?
Those are actually pretty good. Well, thought they were cute.
Our thanks to Anne-Marie Plamondon for that.
What's the best thing about Switzerland?
The cheese.
I don't know. What would it be?
I don't know, but the flag is a big plus.
Oh, that's the flag there, yes. And I'm looking for George Carl sent me one, darn it, and I don't know. I put it down somewhere.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
A fish with no eyes. I don't know. What would that be?
A fsh.
Oh, F-I, a fsh. I should have gotten that.
So dumb.
That's worse than ours.
Why do we tell actors to break a leg?
Because they're in a cast?
Well, because every play has a cast. Yeah, you knew that one.
He's so smart.
Well, enough of this stuff. Let's get back to
AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
And James Berlander is going to make it bearable here with his sound effects.
We'll see.
Here we go. President Biden spent the night in San Diego Monday after striking a nuclear submarine deal with Australia and Great Britain. The next morning, the president asked why he was awakened 1 hour too early, and he was told it was daylight savings. And Biden replied, "Not another bank failure."
Stupid president.
Daylight savings.
Uh-huh.
Silicon Valley bank failure led investors to sell off First Republic and Signature Bank stock Monday. It's these overextended regional banks that are vulnerable. Today, the difference between a pigeon and the CEO of a regional bank is the pigeon can still make a deposit on a new Mercedes-Benz. California is considering $5 million payments per slave descendant for reparations. The money would come from people who never owned slaves, for people who never were slaves in a state that never allowed slavery. This could explain why last year 500,000 state residents were gone with the wind. The House Oversight Committee obtained suspicious activity documents from the Department of Treasury from several years ago showing $3 million in wire transfers from China to three Biden family members. It's no worry. Joe has an impeachment insurance policy with Mutual of Kamala. CNN's new poll has Donald Trump's lead over Ron DeSantis down to 4 points. New York is trying to indict Trump for paying off a porn star who threatened to reveal they had sex on the golf course. He was just trying to show young people you don't have to drink or do drugs to have a good time. The White House went into crisis management mode Monday as GOP candidates for president smelled blood in the water. The clock on the political calendar is ticking, and it stops for nothing or no one. I can't believe it's bank failure season already. I still have my train derailment decorations up. The Academy Awards aired Sunday from Hollywood's Dolby Theater and subjected TV viewers to the word diversity, which was mentioned 27 times from the podium. But 13 of those times may have been the celebrities referring to their educations, such as I went to the University of Florida. That's bad.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers star and future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers agreed to a trade to the New York Jets on Monday. He's no longer in Wisconsin. And to welcome Aaron to the city, the Jets presented him with a brand new Mercedes-Benz that comes with the side windows already smashed and the radio stolen. President Biden flew to San Diego Monday to sell nuclear subs to Australia and England to help fortify Allied naval strength against China. The same day, he tightened up the Mexican border and he okayed oil drilling in Alaska. Comedy fans agreed it's the best Trump impersonation since Alex Baldwin's.
You are fake news.
Silicon Valley was shut down by the Silicon Valley Bank, shut down by federal regulators Friday after depositors pulled $42 billion out of the bank in one day. It spooked even big bank customers like me. Yesterday, I went to the ATM for $100 and it said insufficient funds, and I wondered if it was them or me. Governor Ron DeSantis touted his successes in Florida while campaigning in Iowa Friday. Last week, a bill pushed by DeSantis took effect, and Florida retook legal control over Disney property in Orlando. As a result, Disney World just canceled plans for Snow White and the Seven Drag Queens. Tiger Woods' former girlfriend, Erica Herman, was lured out of his Florida house with the offer of a trip last week, and then Tiger changed the locks on the house. If Tiger thinks that sex after 40 is exciting, wait till he hits the age of 60. You never know if it's an orgasm, a stroke, or a muscle cramp.
That's a lot of crap.
Taylor Swift will kick off her much-anticipated Eras Tour next weekend at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. In her honor, the mayor is naming the city after her for a day. Taylor Swift, who's made millions of dollars singing about her bad choice in men, just endorsed Joe Biden in 2024.
That is 100% my fault.
Congress voted unanimously Friday to force U.S. intelligence agencies to declassify all documents relating to the origins of coronavirus. There are two possibilities. I believe the virus took 5 months to get from the Wuhan lab to the U.S. in March of 2020. But China says they got it right off the bat. Came from the bat.
Ah.
Well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to jump to the last one here. Jill Biden held a White House awards luncheon honoring International Women's Day and gave the Woman of Courage Award to a biological male who identifies as a woman. It never ends. When I was in Vancouver, I drove into the Trans-Canada Expressway, and I wondered if it was assigned USA at birth.
That's all, folks.
Expressway. And our apologies to you and thanks to James for making it bearable.
It's all right.
On air and online at WFLANews.com. This is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
And we're joined now by Aaron Real, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent. And Aaron, how's the market reacting to the latest economic news?
Right now, we're flat. We're walking in real slow today. We're going to take it nice and easy, see what happens. Because it has been absolute bonkers the past 2 days. So the latest, the S&P actually, that closed down yesterday 0.9%, excuse me, 0.7%. The Dow was down 0.9%. And the NASDAQ, they actually eked out a pretty small gain, 0.5%. But this came after the Dow at one point yesterday was down 725 points. It was brutal. S&P, they gave up all of their gains that they made in 2023. And it came on the heels of now Credit Suisse, the massive systemically important bank in Switzerland, saying that they needed more money. They needed to shore up their balance sheet. Their biggest investor was the Saudi National Bank. They asked them for more money. Saudi said, no, we're good. And then finally, late in the afternoon, around 3:30, the Swiss National Bank came in, basically their Fed, and said, okay, we'll give you a lifeline. They handed them $53 billion. Things calmed down. The market was able to close pretty flat, a little down, but pretty flat. And all of this is on the heels of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. This is a global system we live in. One thing happens over here and it reverberates everywhere. And now the government bond market that has really rallied amid these much broader concerns, both yesterday and earlier in the week, about the health of the banking system in general globally. So when this happens, the market's safest assets, the most liquid assets around the world, are government bonds issued by the U.S. and other very rich countries. And they came under immense stress yesterday. And this is following a week of worries. So I don't think we're out of the woods just yet. I'm waiting for the next aftershock, but we'll see how today goes, hoping for the best.
And you got to wonder how this is going to impact the economy overall and how it's going to impact individual folks.
Yes, and I think the individual folks is a big one. Basically, you know, the 401k took a wild swing. But, you know, the easing of buying and selling, of buying and selling treasuries, it's kind of the bedrock of Wall Street. It's what you park money in. It's what you use as collateral for loans. So when that market breaks down, treasuries, the resulting turmoil, it can be really fast. It can hit other assets. We actually saw oil go down. We saw everything tank yesterday with the exception of tech, which went up a little bit. Oh, and believe it or not, Bitcoin's doing okay. But this sharp volatility,
doing okay?
It's doing okay. Yeah, I haven't, let me see where Bitcoin's trading this morning, but it's a big problem across the board. And I think that it speaks to, you know, they say that the Fed raises rates until something breaks, and something broke. And now we're dealing with that at the moment, and how that's going to play out is a big issue. And by the way, Bitcoin, it's at 26,000, 26,525. So that's pretty good relative to what it has been. And it seems to be where, I don't know, people are like, maybe this will work if the federal governments of countries around the world stop backstopping, which they haven't. And I cannot say this enough. I do believe that it was really important what we did on Monday. I think there would have been a huge bank run. I spent all weekend reading about this, making calls, talking to the people I know, and it was scary. I think that we had to do this. So, I mean, we did, which is why the federal government did it. There was kind of no other alternative here. But now that it's done, it's like, oh boy, what's the next shoe to drop?
Yeah, how true that is. Aaron Real, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, dope of all the dopes of the day on AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
And Dana has our dope or dopehead of the day.
Well, this one isn't involving a major crime or anything, but I still thought it was kind of funny. So have you heard of the movie Scream?
Yeah.
You know the movie Scream? So Scream 6 just came out recently, and you know it's that ghost face looking thing. It's
scaring everybody.
So in order to promote the movie, a theater hired somebody to go out in the middle of the street and act crazy, or not in the middle of the street, but on the side of the road and act crazy, flailing around with an axe and, you know, in the Scream costume. And this led to the police department receiving multiple 911 calls about a guy, like a psycho, with an axe on the side of the road wearing the Scream mask. And people were afraid.
I don't blame people. My Lord, that's if you've seen the Scream movies, the guy is pretty frightening.
Yeah, so no charges were filed, and the person was just told, you know, this probably isn't a good idea because you're scaring people. But I guess this was actually something that was, you know, sanctioned by the movie company to have somebody go out in the street and scare people.
Be a great video.
Yeah, so
something for TikTok or whatever.
Yeah, so I think there were a couple of dopes involved here, and thinking that might have been a good idea.
Well, we're going from a dope to the very smart one here in just a couple of minutes. Jay Ratliff, our aviation and day trade expert, is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about these banks in trouble and how that might ultimately impact you. And at 6:44, we've got Jay with us now, our aviation and day trade expert here. And Jay, we've got another bank in trouble, and it seems to be happening all over the country. And first of all, how is that going to impact the individual investor and the individual person, and when's it all going to end?
Well, you know, Jack, when the banking issue happened with the SVB Financial last week, and they kind of had a chance to see how that bank failed in 48 hours, they started looking at how some of the regional smaller banks operate and the rules that they have and the problems they can get into. And they identified like 20 different banks by name that had similar operating procedures. So one of the things that happened was we saw many of those last week, early this week, drop big, recover big, drop, and go from there. But we've had almost, I think, three different banks that have basically closed at this point in time, and that list continues to grow. This morning, FRC, which is First Republic Bank, it's one of the banks that we have talked about before that was involved in all that mess that we've seen over the last little bit. They came out earlier this hour with an announcement that they are considering strategic options, potential sale or what have you. And my students, I teach them all the time, anytime that you see a company coming out saying strategic options, that means everything's on the table, anything, Chapter 11, sale, whatever it might happen to be. Now, for shareholders that have money in the bank, you're protected through the FDIC. I think $250,000 is what these banks cover, so you're going to be okay there. Now, if you're a shareholder that's holding shares of this stock like today with FRC that's at $25 a share down 18%, you're very worried. And anytime we start seeing some of these banking stocks start to drop, it's a sector event. We saw some very large, very strong banks last week that their stock prices were down almost 30% on no news related to them, just on the overall concern of the banking industry in the United States. So confidence is everything because it ties so directly into emotion. And that tells me that this ride that we've been having is certainly going to continue.
I know a lot of people are concerned that this could, speed up the move toward a recession. What are the chances of that?
Well, you know, there's some people that would laugh us off at that and say, oh, come on, that's just no way. That's just an exaggeration. But when you consider the state of the economy, you understand that we are fighting inflationary issues. We have a lot of concerns that are going on right now with this debt ceiling and a bunch of other things that have always been with us here of late. But you have so many things that are going on that are impacting the economy. It doesn't take much for one more little thing to be added that could cause everything to tip. Now, I'm not talking about the market crashing or anything like that, but when you have all of these events that by themselves could create pressure that could bring about a slowdown slash a recession, and let's not forget the interest rate hikes that the Fed has been going on to try to help, you know, tame inflation, which they still have not yet really been able to tackle, just slow down just a bit, and it's still much higher than where they want it to be. Those are concerns, especially when you look at all of those together. Yesterday, at one point in time, the market was down about 2%, which was over 600 points. Now, it closed down yesterday, I think, 281 points. But when you see the swings like that, you can feel the emotion and see it in play because Wall Street's not about illogic and sound making decisions and you know, those types of things. It's a lot about emotion, the ready, shoot, aim type approach, where people see news, they react. And since so many people have access to their portfolios on their smartphones or whatever, you know, computers that they might happen to have, it's very easy for them to do whatever as far as buying or selling. And a lot of times when stocks, there's panic, you're going to see these significant drops. And obviously, if you're holding shares of something and you see one of these unbelievable plummets in price, you've got to make a decision what you're going to do. Some people are saying right now some of these banking stocks are so suspect that you know, they're going to try to reduce their exposure to those in a certain degree. And I think that that's probably a warranted consideration. I'm not telling anyone to do it. But, you know, that list that they've got out of the 20 banks that are out there that are having some issues. Certainly, you want to make sure you know everything that's going on there if you are a shareholder, because right now there's a lot of questions and, unfortunately, very few answers.
One other quick thing here with your aviation expertise. They had some real problems as a result of those storms up in the Northeast. And I was reading about an immense number of flights were canceled. That had to be real panic time.
It is. But, you know, here's what happens when airlines have collected a lot of money for a lot of flights. Those flights are canceled due to weather. Airlines are going to keep that money. They're not going to operate those flights. And what they're going to do is accommodate people on the next available flight. It's a weather event. So what's going to take place is the airlines are going to say, this flight's been canceled. We need to rebook you on whatever. On flights that have empty and available seats. So it's not something, it will impact the airlines to a certain degree. But the other situation is it's not going to impact them as much as a lot of people indicate or would think, because they see these storms coming well in advance. They adjust their flight schedules. They offer passengers a waiver so that they can change their reservations to a later date without being charged a change penalty. So there's ways that passengers can work through it, and there's certainly ways airlines can work through it. And even though airlines stink when it comes to customer service, I have to give them high marks on a lot of these storms. If it's a hurricane that's headed towards a part of the country, or if it's a winter storm that's bearing down, especially on the Northeast that has so many flight operations, they do a very good job in advance of trying to adjust their flight schedule to make the inconvenience as minimal as they can for the passengers, but more importantly for them, to make as much money as they can and not lose any money. And that's why they try to keep those airplanes away from some of those high wind events where aircraft damage can occur.
Oh, I can only imagine. Jay Ratliff, and if you're going to be doing any investing, before you do it, go to daytradefund.com, and we'll talk to you again next week, Jay.
Jack, I appreciate it. If anyone has any questions on those 20 banks that we talked about, if they email me, I'll be happy to pop them the link that got that story attached so that they can review it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Jay.
Welcome, sir.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.